Jill Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hi.
So where do bird songs come from, physiologically speaking?
Great thing to talk about. The woods are starting to be filled, and soon will be really filled, with songs of birds. And I got to thinking about this in particular the other day when I was out in the woods and I encountered a chickadee that was singing, you know, as they are now, doing their spring songs, letting everybody know what's theirs and ours.
Setting their territory.
Yep. And, it was so vigorous, and it was singing quite intensely. So I wasn't counting exactly how many times in a minute, but more so than what I'd been hearing through February and March. So definitely serious about it. And one of the things that I find myself doing for reasons I can't explain, other than that I'm really always curious and love to understand kind of how things work or where things come from. When I'm watching, observing something, an animal, us, you know, whatever, do things, eventually may start to envision, how are those, what muscles are involved and, you know, how their body is moving or how a machine works, trying to figure it out. So as I was watching this chickadee, I got into that mode. And so I was picturing it's this voice coming out of this little bird, this amazing organ that birds have to make their songs. And that reminded me of the fact that I had read an article sometime within the last year about some new discoveries about the organ that birds use to make their songs or to sing their songs with. So to begin with, birds have this organ, and it has a special name because it's different than what we use, our larynx, to make our conversation happen. Mm-hmm. And other mammals, reptiles, amphibians, all have a larynx, and it's what they use to make their voices heard, make sounds. Birds have a larynx, but that's not where their songs come from. They have a special organ called a syrinx.
How do you spell that?
Syrinx. Syrinx. It was named by some person who first looked at it and figured out what it was doing for the nymph in Greek mythology that was turned into panpipes. So I love that this fellow chose that as the name. So syrinx is the term that is used to describe this structure in birds that they use to vocalize their songs, to sing their songs. And it turns out that I think this was identified like in the 1870s, that this is the connection. And so that's the connection between this organ and the songs has been recognized for that long, but it really hasn't been that well understood. How did birds end up with this? Or why are they different? Or is it really that different? So people have been looking into that and trying to understand the way in which this particular organ came to be as a part of birds during their evolution. So it turns out that the syrinx is something that's quite rare, which is what researchers would call an evolutionary novelty. So it's a structure or organ structure of some kind in an organism's anatomy that arose without some clear connection to something in the past. It just kind of came to be in what seems like a very compressed period of time. So the oldest fossil record of the syrinx is like 67 million years ago. And it turns out that that's right around the time that the groups of our modern birds really show up in the fossil. So there's some thinking about, well, maybe this development of this very specialized and very unique organ that by birds for their songs, that it played a part in the development of this wide range and diversity of birds because it was much more capable of making a wider array of sounds than the larynx, which had been a part of the ancestors of birds up to that point. So if you look further back in the fossil record and look at birds compared to, or bird ancestors compared to, say, reptiles, you know, and going back into that even more ancient part of the lineage, they all have very similar structures and it's really larynx-like. Mm-hmm. But at some point there, over some millions of years, what became birds developed this organ that's situated in a different place, so it's not in the same place even as our larynx. It's down right where the windpipe, the trachea splits mm-hmm. to go into each of the lungs. Mm-hmm. So it sits right there above that split or right at that split. And at this point in the past, birds began to develop these folds of tissue similar to what we have in our larynx, but down there, and developed a whole different set of muscles that work that. So the muscles that work their syrinx aren't the same as the muscles that work our larynx. So this elaborate junction at that split developed over a long time, but something created that initiation of that, and that developed. So like I said, one of the lines of thinking is that, well, given the similarity of timing between that and the development of the evolution of modern bird groups that we now see, that having this capacity to sing different songs could have been a contributor to the speciation, ultimately, in modern birds, because it was so much more capable of doing different things than its innate structure was compared to the larynx in reptiles as they continue to develop, or mammals, or amphibians. So as I said, it turns out it's not only creates these amazing sounds that we're now really looking forward to spending a lot of time enjoying. You know, when I see birds, when I get to actually see them singing or imagine them singing as I hear them, knowing that it's because of some ancient lineage of evolution that gave them this capacity, and without which we maybe wouldn't have birds with all these beautiful songs that we have today.
I'm so glad we have them.
Yeah.
Chal Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for talking to us about bird song physiology.